77 episodes down. This is the 78th episode of the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on WestBranchFootball.com.
And seven wins of week episode 77. Sevens were wild, and the Bears scored a lot of sevens last Friday night en route to a 42-0. Well, six of them at least, if the math checks, seven times six. 42-0 the final. Jason Miller along with Matt Chenander and the voice of the Bears, Stephen Grace, coming at you semi-live on a gloomy Saturday afternoon in Eastern Iowa as the leaves turn and football season really comes into full bloom. 42-0, guys, over Northeast Bears, 7-0 in the district. First thoughts.
Bears took care of business. It was a game that, we talked about it. You know, admittedly, Northeast is a program that has struggled the last couple of years, and so this was a game that the Bears were supposed to win, and they came out, they blocked out all of the homecoming distractions, they blocked out the cold snap that came through, you know, they just came out and boom, took care of business, you know, 28 points in that first half. Third quarter was a little rough. I mean, you got to give credit to Northeast that even though they have struggled, they were playing. They played hard. And it was just the fact that the Bears came through and got things done. But, you know, they did what they needed to do, and they moved to 7-0.
Yeah, it was quite the game Friday night. I thought the West Branch coaching staff did a really good job with adjustments. And not just, you know, kind of your typical halftime adjustments, but mid-game adjustments too, specifically on the offensive side of things. I noticed right away that Northeast, they really like to provide a lot of pressure off the edges. They had linebackers drop down to the edge, or maybe they had some defensive backs kind of crashing in. And a lot of times I think it kind of caught West Branch by surprise with kind of that pressure off the edge. And maybe Gavin Hirschman didn't quite see somebody or had to scramble to escape pressure or something like that. But other times, they were able to just hand it right off and have Tanner run right up the middle and have nobody touch him for 10, 15 yards or even more than that to get in the end zone. But what I really liked, I think the West Branch coaching staff noticed that right of way and just exposed the openness in the middle of the field. But then in the second half, I think they really did a good job at getting the line to notice maybe where some of the extra pressure is coming from and shift their blockers over to account for that. I think I noticed there in the first half there were a few plays where just somebody on the offensive line just didn't really have anybody to block, but there were unblocked guys coming off the edge. Second half really didn't see much of that at all. So good adjustments there on the offensive side of the ball to put this one away.
Matt talked about the holes opening wide, I should say, and I just gave away the punchline in his post-game interview with Jerry Flagel. Talked with Tanner Lukofsky about that as he was the Polar Bear player of the game for this one, talking about how they opened holes and he ran wild. And it was just, he explained to me how he's not used to seeing that much green unless he's in conditioning.
Yeah, I mean, it was a case that, you know, they were really taking away the edges, and the offensive line just did a good job. And it just goes to show, I mean, that's a situation where you don't necessarily have to drive block a guy 25 yards and pancake him down the field. Yes, you want to do that. That's great. But they did what they had to do of they set the double teams, they created a seam, and that in this case, they didn't need anybody to get down to that last level, you know, into the secondary to block. But, you know, open it up just enough, and you've got a running back that's good enough that they'll find the hole, they'll hit it hard, and they'll get a lot of yardage out of it. In this case, it opened up for, you know, long touchdown runs. But, you know, even when he didn't go in for scores, he was getting 15, 17 yards a pop. So, you know, the line was doing a great job. Coach Hirschman did a great job recognizing what was there. And then Tanner was doing a good job of finding those holes and just getting up the field instead of sometimes saying, well, I'm going to look here, I'm going to look there. You know, that's what you can see high school kids do sometimes. But Tanner's a smart enough player that there's the hole, I'm going to hit it, and then that allows him to run wild.
Well, guys, 42-0 the final. All three facets of the game were playing quite well. As Matt's going to go over the scoring recap and a little statistical background, you'll hear that. The offense put up around 400 yards. The defense only gave up around 100 yards, and the special teams didn't give up a return over 23 yards when I looked back at it. And all told, when you get into that stuff, there was only one drive for the opposition that went over 15 yards. Only one. The other team had one drive of over 15 yards in the entire game. So Matt, 42-0, how'd we get there?
Sure. So the first half was pretty loaded with scoring. The Bears got out to a 7-0 lead, thanks to a Gavin Hirschman connection with Trey Eagle. Stop me if you've heard that before, this time from 23 yards out. Trey just kind of ran from the far side of the field into the south end zone, just ran a simple post route. Really a 23-yard post route. Got behind his defender, and Hirschman put the ball perfect into Eagle's chest to put the Bears up 7-0. That score was set up actually by a Cameron Hauser interception. And then really one of the big reasons too why Trey was so wide open on that play was there was a good play action call on that play too, that really a lot of the defenders bit and just left Trey wide open, as I said. 7-0 at the end of the first quarter. Second quarter, however, the Tanner Lukowski show comes on the television for you. Featuring two 48-yard touchdown runs. The first one to put the Bears up 14-0, heading into that north end zone. Really good just edge blocking. I noticed by kind of a Jeff Bowie got out, really hooked his guy up to set up the outside. Morgan Hartz really got up the field, provided a good block as well. And then Wyatt Goodale and Trey Eagle from their wideout positions on the edge, really further down the field, creating a lot of room for Tanner. And then to go up 21-0, Tanner Lukowski, another touchdown run, just untouched, really right up the middle into the north end zone. Hauser, Paulson, Peterson, really just kind of the entire right side of that Bears offensive line created a huge hole where Tanner just did not get touched. And really it was, I think, a good play call because the left outside linebacker from Northeast was blitzing around the end. And by the time that Gavin handed it off to Tanner, that blitzing linebacker really had really nothing to do with the play, and it just left that side of the field wide open. So 21-0 there. And then also still in the second quarter, I mentioned there were two 48-yard touchdown runs. Tanner had that. There's that second one, too, to go up 28-0, which is where we stood at the half. No scoring in the third quarter, but the scoring in the fourth quarter got started on our a Jeff Bowie 93-yard fumble return for a touchdown. This actually came just a couple plays after a West Branch fumble, really deep within Northeast territory. Northeast ran it, 70 yards back deep into West Branch territory. And they fumbled and Jeff Bowie took it to the house.
And Matt, just before that play, just before Bowie fumbled, you said it. They had West Branch was deep in Northeast territory, fumbled it on the 15. Okay, Northeast returns it to the 17th, and on first down has a 10-yard run to have first and goal at the 7. Just like that, it could have been 28-7, but...
But yeah, 35-0 instead, so I think that really really put the game away, really, really out of reach for Northeast. And then last scoring drive of the game was the Bears' last drive of the game. Kelby Berger was in at quarterback, Dominic Culver and Andy Henson were in the backfield. Dominic Culver got his first varsity touchdown on a 3-yard rush, and then Ben Grundemann, foreign exchange student from Germany, attempted the PAT and made it to bring the score to 42-0, and that is where the game ended.
And Steven, on that point after touchdown, he had plenty of leg on it.
Yeah,
it was well over the crossbar by at least 5 feet. And the irony in that is on the ensuing kickoff, he barely makes the PAT, but on the ensuing kickoff, he has a touchback.
Right.
How about that?
Well, sometimes there's nerves involved with it, and it's a little bit different when you're out there in a varsity game instead of a JV contest. But that was fun to see. And the thing that I enjoyed the most, especially on that last drive where you know, we were putting a lot of our reserves in there, guys that don't necessarily see a lot of action on a Friday night, but guys that are out there busting their tails at practice every week. And if you heard the student section, I mean, for fans that maybe weren't there, I hope it was coming through on our crowd mic if you were listening on the Bearcast. But I mean, even on a simple 3-yard carry, they were just going crazy. They were just loving it to see these guys do stuff, to see Dom Culver get into the end zone, to see Ben be able to kick that extra point, and just the reaction of the student body, especially, and the crowd, you know, just understanding that these guys are out there doing all of that work. They're doing the exact same things that the Tanners and the Gavins and the Treys are doing. I mean, they're at practice, and for them to be able to get some recognition and get the opportunity to play on a Friday night, it's just, I always love when games get to that situation just for those guys to be able to get that opportunity.
And to close this one up, wrap it up, we'll put it under the tree, Matt. Just some final stats, a little bit individual things that are the game within the game, so to speak. Where does Trey Eagles stand on the all-time, well, the season touchdown reception list right now?
He is at 10, which is one behind the mark for school record for single season, 11 with Ben Thompson, as I believe we talked about last week.
Yes, and oddly enough, that was a bit of a setup. I actually ran across Ben Thompson on the street at halftime last Friday night. His words were this: I want Trey to break it. If there are any kids in the high school right now I would want to break it, it would be Trey Eagle. It was meant to be broken, and I hope Trey does it. Pretty nice words from a guy that, you know, this just happened 2 years ago. But with the way the game's opening up and the way the Bears are playing and more of a, you know, just what a wonderful, I guess you can call, rapport that Trey and Gavin have right now. It's just a neat connection to see. So 42-0, the final, guys. Now, Matt, as we get through that one, how about you get us through checking us in? Where does District 4 stand now?
Yeah, this is, I kind of want to touch on this here when we get into Cascade, but this is, it's getting interesting, to say the least. So this week in District 4, of course, West Branch defeated Northeast 42-0, as we just chronicled. Bellevue defeated North Cedar 21-6, and Cascade defeated Beckman 36-20. So West Branch remains in the lead at 3-0 in the district, a perfect 7-0 overall. Bellevue and Cascade are tied for second at 2-1 apiece in the district, and 3-4 overall. Beckman and North Cedar are at 1-2 in the district, 4-3 overall. And then Northeast drops to 0-3 in the district, 1-6 overall. Coming up this week in week 8, Beckman takes on North Cedar. Bellevue travels to Northeast. And as we'll talk about here shortly, West Branch travels to Cascade. So a couple big ones coming up here in week 8. But I do kind of want to jump ahead 1 week just to kind of set the picture here.
We don't even need to move to week 9, man.
Well, I know. But I do want to kind of set it up because Beckman, yeah, we'll travel to West Branch. Cascade takes on Bellevue, which, depending on how things shake out here in week 8, could be a pretty big game. And then North Cedar would travel to Northeast to finish things out. But yes, Steven and Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think with everything I was looking at, if West Branch defeats Cascade here in week 8, they will be, no matter what happens in week 9, the District 4 champion. Is that correct?
Well, that is correct, Stephen, and Matt just stole the build-up I was going to give as I led into Cascade and let you guys run wild on the pregame touch.
Hey, we're no Tanner Lukowskis. We don't do any running wild around
here. We don't run wild, but yes, math, 100% mathematical certainty. If West Branch were to win on Friday, they are already the District 4 Class 1A champions, because at best, there would be one team tied with them, that team being Bellevue. And the first tiebreaker, Stephen, is what?
Head-to-head.
And what was the score of the Bellevue-West Branch game?
50, 52-28. You put me on the spot there.
Yeah, West Branch. Well, though, and West Branch won. So West Branch holds all the tiebreakers with anyone except Cascade. So if West Branch wins, as Matt alluded to, they will be the district champions. But as we talk about Cascade.
In addition to great sandwiches and ice cream treats, Main Street Sweets offers home-cooked comfort food meals. Each Thursday and Friday, we feature items like meatloaf, tater tot casserole, chicken pot pie, and more. We also offer fresh baked pies every Thursday afternoon. Find a full schedule, as well as our regular menu, at our website, MainStreetSuitesWB.com.
At the beginning of the season, Matt and I don't know if Steven was along for the ride on that podcast, Matt, we talked about who we thought might be the sneaky teams in the district besides West Branch. And I said this, you can talk about Bellevue or this team or that team, I will take Cascade. One way or another, they always have athletes in every single sport. Basketball, track, baseball program is one of the best in the state. They have athletes that are cross-cultured, cross-sports, and cross-activity that just excel on the field. Just when you thought you could begin to count Cascade out as they lost four of their first five games, no sir, here come the Cougars. They lose their first two, win their third game, lose their next two. Now they have won their next two games. They are 3-4 on the season, but more importantly, as Matt just said, 2-1 in the district. They need a win Friday to stay in playoff contention. If West Branch wins, Cascade is done. Unfortunately for them, their RPI will not be strong enough. If they win, they now have a chip on their shoulder. They could be the District 4 champions. And that is what it's all about in high school football, right, guys?
This is a must-win game for Cascade coming into here because then they're going to have to beat Bellevue next week. So they have to win these next two games in order to not only win the district, but get into the playoffs because they're not going to have a shot at getting the district getting into the playoffs outside of winning the district just with their record and the RPI and all that kind of stuff. So this is a must-win game for them. And gosh, to be honest, they have had a heck of a schedule so far this season. You know, you mentioned them dropping those first two games. Each of those were against arguably some of the best teams in Class 2A in Monticello and Benton Community. So they've had a tough stretch so far. And then week four played probably the best 2A team in the state. I don't think that's even subjective. That is objective. Waukon, who is 7-0, they lost to them. So they have had, quite the schedule so far, this season. And so I don't think their 3-4 record is indicative of what the team is. And to be honest, it doesn't look like it on paper, but just kind of watching their tape and seeing the type of quality of teams that they've had to go against so far, this probably maybe outside of Williamsburg could be the best team West Branch has seen so far.
And Steven, to you, I say it like this, and you can take it from there. To borrow an old Hayden Fryism, the hay's in the barn, it's time to go hunting. For West Branch, with seven wins in a row, they have some hay in the barn. Cascade's got a little bit of it in there, but they still need to go on the hunt. Because like Matt said, and we've alluded to, without a win, they don't really have much to play for other than pride in week 9.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be senior night for them up there. You know, this is their last game on their home field. And, they've got some guys that have done some good things. And, with that schedule, you've taken on, three of their four non-district games were against really good 2A schools. And then they lost to North Cedar on a rainy night where it was just one of those crazy things that, again, not trying to take anything away from anybody, but, they got a turnover late in the game that North Cedar turned into a touchdown and a 2-point conversion to win by 1-8-7. That was just a complete mud fest. Play that game on a dry field, who knows? North Cedar may win by 2 touchdowns. Cascade may win by 2 touchdowns. But, suddenly you're looking at them tied with us at 3-0. So, don't look at that overall record. Don't look at anything other than, hey, this is a team that historically knows how to play the game. It's a situation that when you look at the stats and everything, you're saying, okay, they're an okay team. There's just nothing, but they're opportunistic. When I was watching film of their game against Beckman, They blocked a punt for a touchdown. They had a couple other key special. I think they blocked three kicks. I think there was two extra points or an extra point and a field goal. Or maybe another punt that they blocked in there. But, I mean, they find ways to win. And it's kind of like what we've talked about with West Branch, where, you know, a couple weeks ago, we only had, what, 40 more yards than North Cedar, but we still won by three touchdowns. And so you don't necessarily look only at those offensive stats. You look at those other things. And that's what you're seeing with this Cascade team is they've got a really good running back. They've got a quarterback that is getting his feet under him as the season progresses. You've got some pretty good athletes out there at receiver. You got some guys on the lines that are doing some good things. So, yeah, if you were to go into this one and just look at statistical numbers and records and say this should be a West Branch win, game, set, match, you're in for another story. This is going to be another dogfight that we're in.
Looking at some of the stats for Cascade, quarterback Jackson McAleer, a junior, 6'5", 180 pounds. That's a big body. It's going to be, and he's a great athlete in other sports as well. Going to be tough to bring down. Now, he's only got 71 yards rushing, fellas. Of course, that could be influenced by a few quarterback sacks here and there. He's completed just 36% of his passes on the season. He's attempted 107, which isn't that many less than what Gavin Hirschman has attempted, but yet 13 yards per completion. That is a good stat. Leading rusher Colby Holmes, a senior, West Branch has seen him before. 725 yards rushing, 5.5 yards a carry, 7 touchdowns. So each week, he scores on average at least once. Also, Jackson Menster, second leading rusher, 140 yards, averaging 10 yards a carry. That's like Tanner Lukowski, 2018 yards per carry. Looking at the wide receivers, guys, got two guys with 12 catches and 13 catches, and another guy with 9. And if you go back and you listen to the preseason predictions and players to watch out for, when we talked about Cascade, and maybe Matt will remember this, I brought up the name Alex Atchison. 6'5", 210 pounds, fantastic basketball player as well, but last year defensively, he gave West Branch fits off the end. And if you watch the tape from last week alone in just the first series, he was in the Dyersville-Beckman backfield two times in four plays, including being the second man that probably would have blocked the initial punt, as Cascade blocked the initial punt and scored four plays into the game. So what I'm trying to say is, don't just look at their record. As you guys have alluded to, their schedule has been tough. But they've got athletes. They've got guys that can be nightmares for mismatch with 6'5", 6'6", 6'4". Out on the edge. West Branch's corners aren't exactly tall, so they could create some nightmares, some mismatches there on the outside if they really want to. This is a team to keep your eye on. They're going to be dangerous.
Agreed.
You know, that's why they are the best people in the business. Not just the best happy birthday to Matt Chenander a couple days late, guys, online on... Sorry, happy birthday to Matt Chenander on the podcast rather than just over the microphone. So there you go. He's a year older, a year wiser with that response.
Just Steve, just like that. Just as soon as midnight hit on the 11th, boom, wiser.
Boom.
Boom. You've no idea. Goes the dynamite.
And it just went boom.
EMS Detergent Services has been providing janitorial supplies to businesses across the Midwest for over 50 years. Based in North Liberty, Iowa, EMS uses products made right here in Iowa and offers exceptional and affordable service for their clients. Learn more at emsdetergentservices.com. EMS Detergent Services, proud supporter of the West Branch Bears.
Speaking of going boom, whose prediction went ba-bang last week as we do our picks to click?
Well, we all picked the Bears.
Did they win?
they won. Yeah, so just to review, I picked Trey Eagle. Steven took the linebackers, and Jason, you took Abby Nelk, who is the kind of upcoming head person.
Yes, and I think she did a fantastic job. So did it seem like homecoming week went very well in West Branch, guys?
It was good, yes.
Not living there, it's hard to tell, but when I was in town on Tuesday for you know, all of our weekly interviews, and then for Wednesday for the homecoming parade, and then of course Friday for the game. It seemed like it was a pretty good week.
Well, good. Well, I guess we all win, but I'll take the victory last week because guess what? Homecoming went well. The Bears won. There was nothing, didn't hear any stories out of the school, and sounds like everybody had a good time at the dance. So we all win. As far as week 8, Stephen, looks like you're going to be, you're going to be the first one to dance this week. We'll let it carry over.
I hate when I have to go first. It gives me everybody, but I can't like, oh, well, I was going to take him. So, yes. But I don't know. I'm having a hard read on this game just because, you know, I'm still just trying to understand where Cascade is at. Like I said, you know, that record is deceiving, and you know, I'm trying to think where I see some opportunities for the Bears. But I think when it comes down to it, I'm going to use one of my one-timers. I'm going to go with Trey. I think that our passing of offense is going to be called upon, and I think he's going to step up and utilize that height to take advantage against some of the height that Cascade has, and I think he's going to be the one that steps up for us.
So Trey Eagle for you. Okay, Jason starts with a J. I'm going to pick a player whose name starts with a J. I think this week, when I talked about some of those perhaps height differences on the outside on defense, this guy's going to put himself in position to make some plays and maybe get his first interception of the season. I think you see Jack Robertson having a big game for West Branch.
I like that. He's quietly been a huge force on that West Branch defense. So, yeah, good pick. Robertson Island, I think is what it's called, right?
So I've heard.
Yes. Man, yeah, Stephen, I agree with you. I don't know. I really don't know what way this game is going to go. Win, lose, pass, run, high score, low score. So I think I'm going to go with kind of the all-around utility man and hope that he remains perfect on his PATs. And maybe he'll get some field goals in this week. Kel Federline.
He's going back to the well again.
Exactly.
That's right. Well, is he a one-timer yet wrong. Then? Is he a one-timer then? Yeah, I mean, I got to go out to the well, and then once he did well, you made him a one-timer.
Well, that's because you're Jason.
That's right. That's the Jason Miller rule.
It's not a Matt Shenander rule. It's a Jason Miller rule.
I can see that. I understand. Yeah. I get
Makes
it.
Sense, right? Makes sense.
Yes. Well, as of right now, the Weather Channel is projecting the high temperature for Cascade, Iowa,
please
next
be more
Friday
than
40. Night.
Please be more than 40.
65 degrees
Holy
for a high.
You're
going to break out the shorts again.
No kidding.
Winds out of the south-southeast at 16%. Precipitation at 20%. So it looks like it's going to be a nice night for football. I can't recall ever having been to Cascade. I can't recall ever having seen the field. So I don't know which direction the field runs.
It runs north-south.
So the wind could play a role.
Have you been there, Stephen?
I have been there. I actually, funny story, I broadcast a game when I was working at KXIC, and there was two future professional athletes that played in that ball game. Solon took on Cascade. Jason, take a guess.
I'm going to say Colin Ray, baseball player for, for
that
Cascade.
That's a tricky one.
Yep. That was the one you're going to try to get me. The first one that came to my mind. Now, the bad news is, I'm trying to think of the Solon. Would it be James Morris?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah? Okay. Because I had to think of the age there, and that's about right. So, all right, 2 for 2. I got lucky there.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to get lucky or even be more educated on West Branch football, all things, you can find us all over the World Wide Web. And off of it, one way or the other, by following us on the Twitter, the Gram, the Facebook, and subscribing. And Matt, how can they do that?
Sure. Twitter and Instagram is at WB Bears Football. Facebook, just search for West Branch Football. Of course, there's westbranchfootball.com where we have a ton of stuff every week. For Talking Bear Football Podcast, subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever your player of choice is. This week, I don't know why I never thought of this, but it might be not a bad idea to put our game previews that we record early in the week and release on Thursdays up into the Talking Bear Football podcast feed as well. So I did that this week, and I think we'll continue that. Just another way to catch all things.
We have the technology. Let us use it.
One thing I want to touch on before we close up shop, fellas, is with West Branch being 7-0 and hopefully 8-0 after next week, but we all know that's going to be a tall task on the road at Cascade, mm-hmm. a place where, as far as football goes, these kids have never been. A place that Steven hasn't even played, right, Steven?
I never played there.
I don't think West Branch has played there either. So, looking into that, I'm going to bring up the RPI because it's going to be more important. Come Monday, the 14th, somewhere around noon, the Iowa High School Athletic Association will update the RPI through week 7. There was a bit of a shakeup. Last week, West Branch was 5th. There were two top 5 teams that lost last week. Number 1 Van Meter beat number 2 Panorama 20-0. West Lyon lost to West Sioux 35-28. West Lyon muffs a punt late in the game, muffs a punt deep in their own territory. Of course, West Sioux opportunistic recovers it and scores to win that with a late touchdown, 35-28, in a whopper of a football game.
I'm going to have to very go watch good teams. That game.
Yes. So, I think, guys, when it all shakes out, West Branch will move from 5th. I tried to do a lot of the work on the opponents is the tough one. Mm-hmm. I think West Branch moves up to 3rd in the RPI going into week 8. No worse than 4th, but I'm pretty sure I got it right. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it, but it's going to be really close. I think they moved to 3rd. And if they went out, that might be where they stay. And guess what? That means West Branch will host a home game at least one time in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, regardless of the RPI, if they are the district winner, they will.
That's right.
Likely, well, will host that first round game. And then, yeah, if they win that and then they're high enough in that RPI there, then they'll host that second game as well. And we'll go from there.
We will go from there. But let's stick with week 8. And
yeah,
big challenge in front of us. Matt has pulled out an 80s great one in the back. They're cougars, so, of course, poison. Look what the cat dragged in. You gotta love it. Oh, Steven, living my life day after day. Here we go. Well, guys, it's been fun. It's going to be a fun week. Look forward to talking to everybody next Tuesday, or with Steven next Tuesday, talking to a few players and some coaches as well, and talking to you guys next week on the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on WestBranchFootball.com.
And we ask you all to take care, everyone.